We want to open to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and 3, the apostle says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." When you look up the word tribulation, the breakdown of this word takes you back to the Old Testament and some of the things that we find there. For instance, Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Breaking this word down, it means trouble, tribulation, trouble, affliction, burdens, anguish. And so, Job, thousands of years ago, could write, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Full of trouble. Our days are short, and they're full of trouble. We know that to be so. They're full of anguish. They're full of sorrow. They're full of afflictions of one kind or another. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And then the psalmist could come back in Psalm 34, and he could tell us in verse 19, Psalm 34, 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Truths that have been around for thousands of years, we still acknowledge them to be so today. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what a glorious promise that the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so we look at this word, tribulation. It's part of the Christian's lot. In Acts chapter 14, Luke could record for us in Acts 14 and 22 about their trip of preaching the gospel, and now they've come back to the church where they started out from, and they're giving the account of how God prospered their way and blessed them to establish churches. And he says in verse 22, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." And so it's a fact. We must, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, it will be through much tribulation. Again, the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian saints, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, can say in verse 3, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." So it's by divine appointment that we have the tribulations and the afflictions of our life. Why does God appoint them for us? Because He knows that the only way that we will ever grow and mature in our spiritual walk is through the afflictions of life. No pain, no gain. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So here's the problem with many in afflictions. Paul was greatly agitated in mind. He says, I just couldn't stand it anymore. I had to find out, have you gone backwards? Are you still standing firm in the faith? So I sent to know what your faith is. Is it still strong, or have all these afflictions and these troubles in life moved you to the point that you're no longer following the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that amazing how afflictions can do that in someone's life? Well, we know it happened in Demas' life, because Paul could record in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So the world got a hold of Demas, and it sucked him in. It pulled him out of the walk that he was having with the Lord Jesus. He was not steadfast any longer. He got sucked into the world. And you know, the world can get its hooks into all of us. And so that's why the Apostle John could write in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15, and he could say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So how do you counter the love of the world? Well, you counter it by having a greater love for the things of God than what the world presents. If you love to come to the church of Jesus Christ and worship His name through singing and hearing the preaching of the gospel, that's a very good evidence that you're countering this pull that the world has on your life. Here's a good indicator of that. You know, when you're young, you got to go to church or you cause war in the family. You do it to keep the peace. You do it to pacify your parents. But the day comes when you choose to go to the house of God and worship Him because you want to, because you love it, and not because you're just trying to keep the peace and pacify your parents. Oh, I'm hoping that day comes for all you young people, and that you love to come to the house of God because you find a blessing here, and not because you have to. Oh, I tell you, when that becomes the joy of your life, then you're countering the love of the world and its pull on you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's going to be tribulation, but it's a choice that we would rather have than to go the way of the world and never have the afflictions and the tribulations in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus tells us in John chapter 16 and verse 33, He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ peace in all our tribulations, because in Him He's overcome the world on our behalf. Peace in our tribulations because we are in Jesus and He has overcome the world and everything in it. So tribulation, Paul writes here in this Roman letter, it produces another wonderful thing in Romans 5. It produces patience. or perseverance, the ability to keep on going, steadfastness in doing the will of God. It's what Job could describe in Job 17:9, where he says that the righteous shall hold on his way. He's going to be steadfast on his way. He's going to persevere in the way, in doing the will of God. And you know, the Lord Jesus set us one of the most perfect examples of persevering in doing the will of God there is in all the Bible. It says in that book of Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6 and 7. Well, I'm just going to back up to verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Oh, what a picture it gives us of that night that Jesus was in Pilate's hall, and in the hall of judgment there with Herod, and all of the devious things that they did to the Lord Jesus as they plucked out the beard from his face, smote him, spit in his face. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was not deterred. He was not moved away from his primary mission, and that was to love you even unto death. Listen what he says in the next verse. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed or disappointed. God, he says, is going to help me. And do you know, beloved, that's true of all of us this morning. We can lean on the same promise that in all the difficulties of life, he's going to help you too. He's going to strengthen you too. He's going to enable you to carry through and persevere to do his will, no matter how hard that will is. He set his face like a flint. And that same thought is brought out in the book of Luke in the 9th chapter in the 51st verse. It says here, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to befall him, knowing all the terrible things that he would have to go through. Still, he was unmoved. He set his face like a flint. You know what a flint is? You know, the Indians used to make arrowheads out of flint because it's a very hard stone. Jesus set his face like a flint, unmovable. And so should we be in our course to serve the Lord and to do his will. Set our face like a flint. He was unmoved all the way to the cross, even as difficult as all that would be that he would endure. He persevered to the end. And so tribulation produces in your life, and it produces in my life, this wonderful thing of perseverance, keeping on, to the very end to what God calls us to do. Perseverance produces experience. Or, proof. Some translations translate this as character. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Well, what is character here? It's manifesting that your life has been proven. Proof is a good word to describe it here. Because proof is the experimental evidence that we have believed through grace. Because of all these trials and tribulations, we've been tested and approved. And that is a wonderful blessing to have this proof, this character building in our life through the trials of life. It's the only way we'll ever get that character, through the hard knocks. Now that's a better education than a lot of things in this life. God's school of hard knocks. How it tests us. How it brings us to a wonderful conclusion, as Hebrews chapter 12 can tell us. From verse 5 of Hebrews 12, he's talking about how God corrects his children through the troubles and trials of life. Why? That he might bring us to this wonderful conclusion of verse 10. For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. I know I have to say I'm guilty of that in the past. I've disciplined my children in ways that were not good because I didn't have the patience. I didn't have the forbearance. I didn't have whatever I needed to be able to patiently correct my children. And I'll have to stand before God one day and answer for that. But God is a perfect Father. He never has caused in his correction of his children an angry spirit. But I've produced that in mine. But God disciplines his children that he might bring us to this wonderful place. He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God is a holy God. And he wants us to be holy. And he's going to produce that in our life. He's going to correct us to the point through the trials of life that we are made partakers of his holiness. To be like him in holiness is a wonderful thing. And we all one day will be there in the most perfect way, holy as he is holy. And he's even now producing that in us through all these trials and difficulties of life, to be partakers of his holiness. And so Paul comes back then and he says in Romans chapter 5, a tribulation is going to produce perseverance. And perseverance is going to produce character, proof, evidence. And that is going to produce hope. Hope is a wonderful thing that we need. It's not like Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12 could state. It's not the kind of hope that we're going to be disappointed in. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Hope, Paul says in Romans 5, is not going to make us ashamed or disappointed. This is not a hope that will ever disappoint. There are things in this world that we hope for that never materialize, and they do disappoint us. And this is what the wise man says. Hope delayed or deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And brother, you can count on this hope being a tree of life. It's never going to be delayed. It's never going to be disappointed. It's never going to be in vain. This hope does not disappoint. It is because, number one, what Paul could say to that young preacher Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus 1 and 2. Why does this hope not disappoint? Well, listen to what he says. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You can mark it down. You're going to experience this wonderful hope of salvation because God promised it before the world began. And He's going to pay you in full. It's coming. That's the first thing. The second is this. Because the love of God is poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. And so the Holy Ghost has been given unto us that He might just constantly pour out in our heart this wonderful sense of the love of God. How can you go through all of these tribulations of life and not just be beat down? Because the love of God is there to hold you up and carry you through, that the Holy Ghost pours out constantly in your heart. And this Holy Ghost has been given to you. First of all, in John 20, we see a beautiful picture of this. John 20 and verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now I believe in the very real sense, Jesus has breathed on all his disciples and his followers, and they have received the Holy Ghost. But then when you look at Acts chapter 2 and in verse 32, it says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Now this is the baptism of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was exalted to the right hand of the Father. And as he sat on the right hand of the Father and received this wonderful gift from the Father to the Son, he poured out upon his church the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I believe the Holy Ghost is still here, present among His church and His people, and He will be until the day that Jesus returns. Why do we not see the same miracles today that they had in the first century Christianity? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I know this much. Jesus is still exalted, and He still has the gift of the Holy Ghost, and He can give it wherever and whenever He so desires. And I desire that He fill us more and more with this power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love that verse in the fourth chapter of Acts where the church prayed. And as they were praying, God shook the very foundations of the building where they were praying. I would love to see that in our day, that God would come and in such a mighty manifestation shake the very place where we're praying. God is able to do again what He's always done in times past. But the thing we need to hold on to this morning is this. We have the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. He constantly pours out in our heart the love of the Father that enables us to bear up and to go through all the trials and tribulations of this life.